Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I'm thrilled that you are part of this program. To mark the completion of Sifrei Nevi'im, we are creating a Siyum scroll, an online place to recognize your accomplishment, as well as hosting several live events. Please check out the details at ou.org/women/Siyum. Again, ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel tov on this meaningful accomplishment and much continued hatzlacha on your future learning. Please consider donating to support this valuable programming at ou.org/women/donate. And now to today's perek.
Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we'll be studying Sefer Malachi Perek Bet, Chapter 2. In our last shiur on Perek Aleph, Malachi admonishes the Jewish people, and particularly the Kohanim, for not showing honor and respect to Hashem in their bringing of karbanos, the sacrifices in the Second Temple. Malachi accuses them of bringing lechem go'al, loathsome unfit food, on the Mizbeach, such as blind, lame, and maimed animals. He chastises them for saying that the altar of Hashem is repulsive, Shulchan Hashem nivzehu, having stripped the avodah surface of its dignity and its substance, they dishonor the house of Hashem and cause a chilul Hashem. The beginning of Perek Bet, Chapter 2, is a direct continuation of Perek Aleph. Indeed, these nine verses are the end of the Haftorah of Parshas Toldos that begins in Perek Aleph that we learned yesterday. Malachi tells the Kohanim what will happen if they continue not to honor the name of Hashem through the service of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Ve'im lo tishma'u, and if you do not listen, ve'im lo tasimu alev, kvod lishmi, and if you do not take it to heart to render honor to my name, v'shilachti bachem et ha'me'ra, v'ariti et birchotehem, I will send the curse among you, and I will curse your blessings. Notice again how the honor due Hashem is being ignored, how the avoda, the service of the sacrifices, has not been taken to heart. They are mere tasks that are not to their liking, and so they will be punished. The Navi bemoans these facts, the Radak tells us, because Hashem had made a covenant with Aaron, who was the head of the tribe of Levi, that was the priesthood, that the priesthood would belong to him and his descendants forever. As the Pasuk says, Pasuk Hei, Briti haita ito, hachayim v'hashalom, my covenant was with him, life and peace. The Ibn Ezra adds, Ki ba'avur shehu makriv korbanai, because the Kohen that brings my sacrifices, yiyel Yisrael hachayim v'hashalom, because of the Kohen and the Kohanim who bring these services, there will be life and peace brought to all the people. The expectations for the Kohanim are high. Aaron, Pinchas, and his son Elazar, Kohanim par excellence, are described in these terms. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Torat emet haita b'fihu, the teaching of truth was in his mouth. Va'avla lo nimtza b'svatav, and injustice was not found on his lips. The lips of the proper Kohen should safeguard the knowledge of Torah. As the Pasuk goes on, Pasuk Zion, Siftei Kohen Yishmeru Da'at, he is the agent of Hashem to teach Torah to Bnei Yisrael. The Torah Yivakshu Mipihu, and the people should seek Torah from his mouth. Note how four times in these two psukim, the Navi emphasizes how the mouth and the lips of the Kohen should be used to disseminate the truth of Torah. Instead, our Kohanim of Prakim Aleph and Beis are using their words to disdain Hashem. In Perek Aleph it said, Ha'omrim, they say, Shulchan Hashem nivzehu. They quote and say, the altar of Hashem is repulsive. V'nivo, nivzeachlo. And his constant refrain, his constant motto is, nivzeachlo, his food is repugnant. And so, unless they change course, pasuk tet, v'gamani natati etchem, Therefore, I will also make you nivzim ushvalim l'chol ha'am, repulsive and lowly to all the people. Kefi asher einchem shomrim et drachai, because you are not following my ways. Mira keneged mira, measure for measure, they will be punished. They disdain the name of Hashem and cause the chilul Hashem. Now they will be made lowly in the eyes of the nation. So explains the Marikra. The kavod of Hashem had the potential of aggrandizing the second Beit HaMikdash and subsequently the whole nation. Now the Kohanim and the people not only would have withheld his honor, but disdained his name, so they will be nivzim ushvalim. A second, an egregious sin on the part of some of the people during the early part of the Second Temple period now takes center stage, that being the sin of intermarriage. This same sin is described in more detail in Sefer Ezra, the 9th chapter. You will learn then about Ezra's incredible reaction to hearing that there were Jews marrying non-Jewish women when he arrives in Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, and his plan that is implemented to try to solve the problem. In Malachi, 7 verses are dedicated to the Navi rebuking them for what they are doing, both on a national level and on a personal level, and explaining to them why and what they are doing is so painful and destructive. The Navi begins with 3 questions in Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Halo av echad v'chulanu? Do we not all have one father? Rashi explains that this is referring to Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, since we are all the children of the Shiftei Ka, the 12 tribes. Both Avram and Yitzhak had 2 children, one of which was not deemed by Hashem to be fit to be part of Klal Yisrael, Yishmael and Esav, respectively. We are all from Yaakov. We are all brothers and family. Question 2. Halo Kel Echad Bra'anu? Are we all not the children of Hashem, who created us to be his Am Skula, his special nation? Do we not believe that he created us as such? Question 3. Madua Nivgad Ish Ba'achiv L'chalel Brit Avotenu? Why would one person betray another to profane the covenant of our forefathers? How can you marry a non-Jewish woman? You are, Rashi says, defiling the brit, the covenant we made with Hashem at Sinai to follow his laws of the Torah. Are we not expected to retain that uniqueness of our people? Note that the Navi calls this intermarriage begida, an act of national treason. The shoresh root word bet gimel dalet appears 4 times in these few psukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Bagda Yehuda, v'toavan ne'esta b'Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. Yehuda had been a traitor, and an abomination had been done in Yisrael and in Yerushalayim. Ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ahev. Yehuda has profaned that which is holy to Hashem, which he loved. Uva'al bat el nechar, and married the daughter of a foreign god. What have they done? They married a woman from a Gentile nation. They married, Rashi said, foreign women while in Bavel. This act is called betrayal, an abomination, because they have profaned Kodesh Hashem asher ahev, that which is holy to Hashem that he loves. Rashi believes this means that is referring to the man himself. Man is defiling himself, since the Jewish nation is called Kodesh LaHashem by Yirmiyahu, holy to Hashem. Another way of interpreting these rules may be, it is an abomination to marry the non-Jewish by Jewess. By doing this, the man has profaned that which is Sakadosh to Hashem, Jewish marriage. As we know, the name for the union of man and woman is called Kedushin. Our relation to Hashem is even compared to that of a husband and wife. Malachi is telling the people that our history began with Avram Avinu, There was a process of refinement that took place before the nation was born. Yishmael and Asa fell off, and it was Yaakov whose children were singled out to the point of our being ready to be a nation. Finally, at Har Sinai, our relationship with Hashem was concretized. We are a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We attained a level of Kedusha, which means we are Mufrash, separate from other nations and their beliefs. Don't tamper with that by marrying women with other beliefs, believing in other gods. Continue the Kedusha of the line. Don't ruin it now. But the Navi is not finished. He turns from the national betrayal to the personal betrayal. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. V'zot shenit ta'asu, and this is the second sin you commit. Kasot dim'a et mizbach Hashem b'chi v'anacha. You are covering with tears the mizbeach of Hashem, with crying and moaning. Me'ein od pnot el hamincha v'lakachet ratzon miyadchem. So he will no longer turn to your offerings or take it with favor from your hand. Besides your marrying non-Jewish women, there is another sin they are doing. What is this sin? What does it have to do with tears and the Mizbeach? And what will it prevent Hashem from accepting their sacrifices? The Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis explains, and I quote, Amar Reb Chagai, B'sha'a sha'alu Yisrael min ha'gola. Reb Chagai says that when Bnei Yisrael came up from the exile, from Bavel, nitpachmu p'nei hanashim min hashemesh, the faces of the women got blackened from the sun. The Medrash HaGadol in Vayikra adds, was not only from the sun, but also from hatsina, from the cold, mipnei hayagon v'hada'aka, and from the worry that they had coming up to Eretz Yisrael and traveling with their families. V'hinichu otan, and the husbands left them. V'holchu lahen, and they went. V'nasu nashim amoniot, and they married Gentile women. V'hayu hanashim hayehudiyot, makifot et hamizbeach uvochot, and the Jewish wives then went and surrounded the mizbeach, and they cried. Hu shemalachi omer, this is what Malachi says in the pasuk. That they surrounded the Mizbeach with tears and crying and moaning. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Man Kabel Mehem, who would accept from them? All I hear is crying and moaning. Mishe Gazalta V'chamasta V'natalta Yafya Mimena Atam Mishalcha, after you have stolen and robbed and taken from her beauty, now you send her away? Etmaha. How wondrous. Who can hear this? Rashi adds that the first sin of intermarrying would have been bad enough had they been single. But here they were married already, and they cast out their Jewish wife. He adds to the horrific picture by saying, Rashi, quote, Vahaya Moshiva Babetot Srura. He put her in his house as if she was like imprisoned. Ka'almanot Chayot. She lived like a living widow. Vahanachriot Hagverit. And the non-Jewess was the mistress of the house. How awful. And so these Jewish women pour out their hearts to Hashem at the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem heard their cries and their moaning. Could he then accept their husband's sacrifices brought on this very same Mizbeach? No. The Abarbanel says that at every Jewish wedding, Hashem is present as a witness to the ksuba, the marriage contract, that is signed and given then to the bride. And so now she is being treated so shabbily that the wife comes to Hashem, who was the witness to her marriage, and cries out and complains to him, "I kept my part of the deal. What about him?" Chazal say that she comes to cry at the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash in particular, saying, let me drink the waters of the Sota, the accused adulteress, to prove that I have been faithful to him. What have I done wrong? Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14. Hashem will not accept their korbanot. Al ki Hashem he'id beincha uvein eshet ne'urecha. Hashem is the witness between this man and the wife of his youth. Asher atabagadeta ba, that you have been a traitor to. V'hi chavertecha, she is your companion, your friend. V'eshet britecha, the wife of your covenant. You would expect a love bond to have been formed after spending so many years together. She is the wife of your youth, the wife you share common experiences with, and who you share your religious beliefs. Eshet britecha. But Hashem says that if this is not to be, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ki sanei shalach amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, V'chisa chamas al levusho. If a man does not want to be married to his wife, divorce her, Hashem says. Allow her to begin her life anew. Do not cover up your disdain to her by pretending, like one covers up iniquities by putting a garment over it, Mitzvah explains. Before we conclude today, I think it's important to emphasize that we know this intermarriage at this time was on a small scale. In Sefer Ezra, we learn that there were 113 cases in approximately 50,000 people. Yet the Navi takes the time to emphasize the shocking fact that it existed in Eretz Yisrael during the beginning of the Second Temple. It is certainly worthwhile at a later date to delve into how and why this practice began, for we do not hear about this intermarriage described amongst the Jewish people in the First Temple. Suffice it for us today to glean from this perek the sanctity of the Jewish marriage in the eyes of Hashem. His presence at each chasana harbors his hope for each couple to establish a loving bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael, a house faithful to Israel, based on tara and kedusha, based on purity and holiness. It is not something to be treated lightly. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.